Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, January 9th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 81, the second paragraph, Our Design for Living, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Stacy T., The 12 Traditions, Laura R., and the readers of the text are Leslie M., Robin P., and Dion R. The share ID for Wednesday, January 8th, 10 a.m. meeting, that was yesterday, is 13,940. That's 13940. And for Thursday, January 9th, that was this morning's meeting at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 13,944. That's 13944. And our newcomer greeter is Penny C., and our announcements coordinator is Robin P. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Stacy T. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Stacy.
Good morning, Mo. This is Stacy T. in Cleveland, Ohio, recovering compulsive overeater. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Stacy T. And I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. This is Laura R., grateful compulsive overeater out in Greeley, Colorado. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, the loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again, and that's the star 1 button on your phone, not the mute button. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 81, the second paragraph, Our Design for Living, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Leslie M. to get us started. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Mo H. Thank you for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our design for living is not a one-way street. It is as good for the wife as for the husband. If we can forget, so can she. It is better, however, that one does not needlessly name a person upon whom she can vent jealousy. So here it talks about my design for living. And this 12-step program and the spiritual way of life is a design for living that has exceeded anything else that I've ever tried in my life. And finally surrendering to this process is what got me to the recovered state that I'm in one day at a time. And I'm very grateful for that. But it says it's not a one-way street. So the other thing that brings up for me is that I have to remember that I'm the one with the program. I'm the one that needs to clean up my side of the street to make sure that I'm taking care of the things that I need to take care of on a daily basis. But it also reminds me that, as far as one of my biggest problems, while I was still in the disease, was my expectations of others, thinking that they should be something or do something that they're not going to do or that they aren't. And one of my favorite slogans, my favorite program things is expectations or premeditated resentments. So I have to remember that it is not a one-way street, and it can work for all parties in a relationship, but I have to remember that I'm the one with the program, and I'm the one that needs to do this work. And also this paragraph also once again warns us and states that one does not needlessly name a person upon whom she can vent jealousy. So it talks about making sure that we are not causing any further harm with these 9-step amends, whether it's to the person that we're giving the amend to or another third party. We don't need to name these people. We don't need to include them. This is our inventory. It's our amend. And that those were the wrongs that I did are the wrongs that I need to, take care of in this process. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Leslie M., for getting us started. I'll remind everybody and those just getting on the line that we're on page 81, the second paragraph, our Design for Living comments on that one paragraph only, and I'll now take some readers, some sharers.
Tamara C.
Tamara C. Press star one.
Wendy M.
Wendy. M.
Carolyn S.H.
Carolyn S.H. And I got you, Sherry.
Marilyn T.
Marilyn T. Let's see. I think, wait a minute. Sherry K.B. I can take one more.
Malky G.
Malky G. Okay. M-A-R-L-I-N-A-R-R-I, Sherry. Okay, so here's what I have. Tamara C., Wendy M., Carolyn S.H., Sherry K.B., Marilyn T., and Melky G. All right, good lineup. Tamara, you're going to get us started, and you'll be followed by Wendy M. Tamara, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Tamara C., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in California. So I know that we're talking about like making amends, and the topic is like for having an affair. And I thought, well, I can't really relate to that. But I tried to look at it and see, okay, but what does this say to me? How can I relate to it? What message can my higher power have for me through this? And actually like prayed the set aside prayer.
Okay.
Help me set aside things I think I know about being in a relationship with my husband and the harm that I've caused and amends I can make. And so then what came to me is that harm that I have done, which in a way I could think of as being unfaithful to my husband, is that just being so absorbed in myself over all these years, my fears and my needs and my ambitions and my perfectionism, just really... making it so that I couldn't really be there for my husband and bring peace and joy to him, just putting all my stress on him, not accepting the reality of life, not being content. And he's been so patient for so many years putting up with that. And I saw that, you know, the harm is really robbing him of the experience he could have had with a wife who was just, living this new design of living and being content and peaceful. And so I prayed about what amends I could make. And of course, I can tell him, I can acknowledge this harm that I've done and that I regret it. And I can tell him that I intend to practice a different design for living. And I can share how this spiritual program of action is helping me have a new way of thinking. And then I can just recover. I can work the steps daily, listening to the direction of my higher power so that I can continue to grow along spiritual lines and follow this new design for living that can have a positive impact on my relationship with my husband and on his life and his peace and joy. So that's what came to me, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Tamara C. Wendy M., followed by Carolyn S.H. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. Wendy, I'm compulsive overeater and recovering bulimic, and thank you for allowing me to share. And Tamara, I need to apologize. I was unmuted for a sec when I said goodbye to my husband. Sorry about that. I will try to be more in tune to if I'm muted or unmuted. Oh, the design for living is huge for me because it has changed my life so drastically. I came into Overeaters Anonymous with more than one addiction and caused havoc in my family and had a road that was so not healthy for me and for the people around me. Today, with my recovery programs, I have this great design for living that has taught me how to clean up the wreckage of the past, to not regret it or wish to shut the door on it, to have a life beyond my wildest dreams. I've made my amends. I have not given names. I have been true to anonymity when I make amends. And so it gets a little gray in there sometimes. But I know that I need to make amends. I need to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. You know, what can I do to make it right? And then I drop it. And sometimes spouses have the habit of bringing up the past and like throwing it in the face of an argument. And I just have to remind myself, I made that amends. You know, I can't make it, remake it, remake it, remake it. I made that amends. And then I need to like take myself out of that situation, or like just go outside and get a few breaths of air, or whatever it takes to not get drawn into that argument. But I feel good about who I am today. I feel good about what I am doing. And I thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy M. Carolyn S.H., followed by Sherry K.B. Carolyn, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Mo. I'm just starting my timer. There we go.
Okay.
Carolyn S.H., calling in from Massachusetts, recovered. Our design for living. I looked up the word design, there's a lot of different definitions. Actually, there's like 17 different definitions, one is an outline, sketch, or plan, structure, organization of formal elements, combination of details. And for me, I just love that phrase, design for living, because that's what I didn't have before recovery and before abstinence and having a conscious contact with my higher power. I want to share what's happening for me is I have the opportunity now to apply my design for living in a relationship, and I've never been recovered in a relationship, and so it's a whole new world. And my partner said to me the other day, and this is like huge for me. He said, you're the most marvelous person I ever met, and of course my ego just kind of went crazy. But he goes, you're actually nice. And I thought to myself, oh my God, if you only knew me like, you know, 5-6 years ago. And it's like, really, I'm nice? Like, I think what he's witnessing is that I'm applying my design for living, that I'm sober. I'm checking my time. I prioritize my connection to my higher power. So he's experiencing me as, quote, nice, right? Another thing I just want to share by way of full disclosure and honesty, there's something about this paragraph that has always bothered me a little, and I know that points to something in me that needs to be worked out, but the whole, if we can forget, so can she. Like, I automatically take the position of someone who's been cheated on, like, you're telling me to forgive. But I really think that points to a victimization thing in me that when it comes up in real life, I work on and I do a 10-step on, and my time is just about up. So I will stop there. Thanks.
Thank you, Carolyn S.H. Sherry K.B., followed by Marilyn T. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry K.B. in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Mo, and Team Thursday and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. So I'm looking at this from a kind of a different angle, because the fact that we're into action and we're talking about step 9. And so my design for living is not, you know, when I think of a one-way street, I think everybody goes the same way. And that's, you know, it's not a one-way. It's not Sherry's way. It's not from here on out we're going to do everything my way. You're going to follow what I do now that I'm doing this and I'm doing that and so are you. What I think on is that the idea to me of making a living amends is to be an ideal partner in my marriage and to be an example of a living amends, a walking amends, walking the walk rather than talking it. And, you know, that includes acceptance. It includes not expecting somebody to do it the way I do it. It's about just, you know, cleaning up my side of the street, not making it about theirs. Somebody said earlier that, you know, no longer having premeditated expectations, because premeditated expectations are resentments lying in wait. So I know that I'm walking this path, and I would love for my partner and, you know, people to walk with me, but I can't. I have to be based on attraction rather than promotion. There was a thing that I started doing ever since I started cleaning up and my side of the street was I have this once-only rule. I used to tell my husband, I don't know, numerous times about how to do this or do that, and I came up with this once-only rule. I get to say it one time, and that's it. I don't get to repeat myself. I don't get to, you know, that's it. And I've pretty much stuck by that. It's been amazing in the shift in my relationship. So to wanting to be that ideal partner is to make an amends, to carry that message. And, you know, not expecting when it says that, you know, it works for both, but the thing is that I have to be that action. I have to be that example. And I can't expect them to change overnight or whatever. I just have to keep doing, cleaning my side of the street, cleaning up my stuff. And, you know, it is based on attraction rather than promotion, really. And with God's help, I can do this. And I just keep thinking that this is in about making an amends. So it's making a living amends is changing my behavior and keep doing it and keep living this way because it sure makes me a lot happier. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Marilyn T, followed by Malky G. Good morning, Marilyn.
Hi, Mo. Thank you so much for being the moderator. When I hear your voice, I always smile. So, this is Marilyn T., grateful, compulsive overeater in California, who is just really into the ninth step right now. This has just been such a treat, actually, to be in my ninth step and to be going through this reading with everyone and getting a fresh set of eyes from other people on reading it. So, you know, piggybacking on who has already spoke before, because I got a lot of really good stuff out of that. I do look at the design for living for me is my new ideal on how I wish to treat the world around me and myself. If I don't change the person I was, I will never be recovered. It isn't just the food. For me, it's very much emotional abstinence also. I definitely keep in check myself when I'm irritable, restless, and discontent. What is going on with me? Usually everything about somebody else or thing triggers some aspect of myself that I am not, I'm not living the way that really my higher power intends me to live. So in doing my ninth step real quick, one of mine was to make amends to my ex-husband. And, of course, 4 months ago, our son passed away. So in trying to be a different person, in trying to realize that, and when we looked at that, we talked about having affairs with food and et cetera, I realized that, you know, we all have our part in a relationship. I was not a recovered person when I was with my ex-husband, and I was not a recovered person in the childhood of my son. I get to make amends. I get to be the person that I believe my higher power wants me to be. And that is something I have to put aside anything about somebody else. I never make any point of talking about their side of the street. It's never about their side of the street. It's about mine. And you don't strike jealousy. You don't do any of those things. You just, kindness, patience, and tolerance is our motto. I don't want to talk much longer. I just want to say that I'm so thankful to be on this with everyone else on this journey. I thank my sponsor and I thank all of my God squad. I pass.
Well, thank you, Marilyn T. And before we go to Malky G., I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 81, the second paragraph, our design for living. Just that one paragraph only. And after Malky, I will take more names. Good morning, Malky.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone on the line. Hi, I'm Malky G. from New Jersey. This is very heavy for me, making amends, and very much my hardest amends is sitting on working and making amends to my husband. I've been writing and writing letters for him, and I just couldn't bring myself to do it. There's just so much fear and pain in my heart, and I was pushing myself to go forward, and I just couldn't. So I really had to start looking through and see what was blocking me. A very, very big block was over and over coming home was a fear of commitment. I was so scared that once I really make these amends, I really need to follow up the living amend because I've made so many verbal amends to my husband over and over and over again. Forget that he was worn out. I was so sick of doing them and not being the person that I'm going to say with these amends I'm going to be. So that fear, I had to really look at that fear. What was holding me back to being committed and consistent and living in those living amends? Was I ready? A big thing was I had to really work very, very deep on acceptance. I need to accept my husband exactly who he is. I need to, and I owe him, I really owe him. I need to love him for exactly who he is. I really tried to control and change him. And it's, I did a lot of work. I'm doing a lot of work in my heart and in my head towards him, without even the living amends. I need to change my perception of him. I need to change my heart and acceptance. I need to forgive and love him before I can actually stay committed and consistent. And my husband is seeing that I'm in the process of making amends. And he even came over to me and he said, you know, I don't want any more amends. I think he's tired from the back and forth. So I said, and what would you like? What can I do for you to make things better? So he said, you know, I want one thing. I'm going to start very small. I want consistency. I want to come home to the same wife every day. One day we're on, one day you're off. One day you like me, one day you hate me. One day you're in the mood of me, you're in a bad mood. One day you're in a good mood. And, you know, he really was saying what I was struggling with in my heart. I was so scared to be consistent. There was so much junk in my head and my heart and so much fear to stay consistent. And it was really hard for me, you know, and I almost got angry. I wanted to make amends. I wanted to make everything good. But he was clearly telling me very, very small what he wanted. And I feel that was God's message telling me I need to really be consistent in my small day-to-day amends. Consistency is very, very hard for me. I get triggered. One day I get angry. Forget it. He's God. Things will never be good. Everything is fault. The next day I'm good. Boy, program strong. Okay, everything's good. I'll forgive him. Everything's great. It's exhausting, that yo-yo. And one day at a time, I'm really working on just being a very low-key, very low expectations of myself and just being consistent, just saying, hi, honey, how are you? And smile. Just that small living day amends is very, very hard for me. Consistent and commitment is very hard, very scary. There's a lot of fear involved. But I am showing up. I'm showing up one day at a time. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Malky. And so I'll now open the lines up for more to share. You can probably take about six more.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Ricky M.
Ricky M.
Margaret N.
Margaret N. Oh, you're being so good to me.
Jean J.
Jean J.
Pamela R. B.
Pamela R. B. Possibly one more, depending on time. If not, we'll go with
Kathleen.
Kathleen. Oh, I heard two people. I'll take Kathleen there if we have time. Okay, so I have Donna B., Ricky M., Margaret N., Jean J., Pamela R. B., and Kathleen O. Donna B., followed by Ricky M. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Donna B., a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. Our design for living is not a one-way street. God, I've been so deeply moved by the idea that in amending my behavior, in living in a program of recovery, not everybody is going down the street the same way that I am. This morning I woke up and wrote out a 10th step regarding a friend in the rooms who is in relapse. And when she was not in relapse, she was available and present, and she's single and doesn't have children. And the first week of winter break, when my husband was working a lot and my kids and I were home alone, she spent a lot of time with us, and she was present, and we played games and we laughed. And now that she's in relapse, I wrote a 10-step about, in essence, losing her to the disease. And I had the opportunity to give away my 10-step and then to also speak with my sponsor, who reminded me that I don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That part of my recovery, and so many people have spoken so beautifully about this, is showing up consistently, taking care of my side of the street, and not expecting or pushing or forcing or demanding that people go down the street the way that I want them to. That has not worked for me. I'm so grateful for the shares this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Ricky M., followed by Margaret N. Good morning, Ricky.
Hi, this is Ricky, recovering in Southern. The reading today, our design for living is not a one-way street. It's as good for the wife as for the husband. So the reason I came into recovery is because I was struggling in life. My life was unmanageable. You know, it was dysfunctional. I wasn't living. And what scared me most is not being able to show up to the family. You know, they would come home, what's for dinner? I don't know what's for dinner. I just binged. I'm not hungry. Why would I feed you? And that really bothered me. Let's go, there's no food in the house, go grocery shopping, but I'm exhausted. I'm sitting here just doing nothing. And that's what brought me here. What keeps me here is really focusing, again, on the gifts that being in recovery has given me, the gifts of being able to be present for my children and my family. And I'm at the point, I'm actually right here now, right before step 8, needing to write down all my lists. And I'm really fearful and scared. I'm feeling it all over my body. Just, this is where the work is at. And I keep going back, what brought me here? It's the focus of, you know, it's not just for me, it's for the family. And I see it clearly that when I'm working the program and I'm working through these steps, it's not just about me. My husband is getting this gift of my recovery. My children are getting the gift of my recovery. I look at their eating habits and I wonder, like, wow, who is the mother that taught them how to eat so well? How come they can stop? How do they stop when they're done? And I just thank God for that. I don't know if it's because I'm working the program or it's just because there's a healthy environment that we're all getting because of, you know, and actively working day by day, staying in the pain when things are really hard. On the holiday weekend, there's a lot of triggers, and I really went down a dark place. But through program and reaching out to people in fellowship, I was able to stick with it and stay in it. And I realized that's what the program's about, is staying with the pain, that food won't be the solution. I keep remembering what it was like to be in the food. Was I happier? Was I calmer? Was I a better wife? Was I a better mother? No. So then it wouldn't help if I go back to the food. So I stayed in the pain. And you know what? No one is worse for the weary. They all lived through with me, through this, and we're here together. Just to continue on, it says, it's needless to name a person upon which we can, you know, for our partner to vent. Are things that I've done to my husband that he can blame other people for. I say, oh, that person did that to me, and that, you know, caused me or helped and, you know, harm was done. There's no need for me to bring up old memories or old pain for him to go on and vent. In recovery, I've learned that not everything needs to be said, not everything needs to be brought out. It's just living in recovery and living through the program that we can share the gift. And thanks for letting me share with that. I'll pass.
Thank you, Ricky M. Margaret N., followed by Jean J. Margaret, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Margaret N. in Northern California. And this design of living, that little simple phrase, it's the design, the spiritual design of living is the most amazing, simple, and yet most challenging thing. I'm finding that in order to see the truth through God's eyes, I'm having to set aside and discard almost all of my assumptions, my beliefs, my thoughts of what I thought was true, because my filters can be so skewed. I catch glimpses, and it's like, it's the most amazing thing, but it's just very powerful how many defenses through filters and assumptions and expectations and perfectionism that I've built up, and I'm very, very grateful to be shedding those as I go along. And then it's not a one-way street. Well, that's welcome to life. And the more present I am, the more it's okay that this highway of life is congested and people are going the opposite way and taking turns, you know, to the left or the right, or if there's red lights or someone's, you know, not going along like I believe is best. I believe what is best for me, but I have no clue what is best for anybody else. And so it's consciousness expanding, and it's allowing me to be more present than I ever have been. And with that presence and with staying in my own lane and just looking at myself and my actions and my being able to measure a response, so it's more like the one I really want to give, is allowing me to see the goodness in my husband and my kids instead of looking at them and just seeing what I think needs to be fixed. Nothing in them needs to be fixed, that as far as I'm concerned. I have job security with myself, and so I am so very, very grateful for everything and everyone in this program. It's expanding and strengthening my spiritual base. It's the most amazing and enriching and rewarding and hardest and painful and challenging thing that I've ever committed to. And I do really feel committed to this. Really, for the first time in my life, I've had so much fear and so much perfectionism that it's just blocked out the sunlight of the spirit, and to feel the warmth of that sunlight, not all the time because my ego gets in the way, but even to get glimpses of it is just the most amazing, beautiful, loving thing. So anyway, thank you all for being here, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Margaret N. Jean J., followed by Pamela R. B. Jean, good morning. Press star 1. Jean, we can't hear you. Star 1, Jean. All right, is Pamela ready?
I am.
Can you hear me now?
Pamela, is that Jean?
Yep, sorry about that. I was going through the queue.
All right, Pamela, hold on there. Jean, we'll take you. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mo.
Yep.
So the design for living, my way, thanks to abstinence, is getting softened into a place, and the step work, of course, so that I'm learning to play well with others, or at least play with others. And, this centeredness on self that has been such a hallmark of the disease, along with its attendant resentment, fear, fury, and victimhood, where I have just felt so put upon, so taken advantage of by the world, and lashed out and blamed everyone for my issues. And all that's turning around here in program, very slowly, I must say, glacial pace, but nonetheless, I'm on the journey, and with the gift of abstinence, why I can feel the emotions associated with stinginess and resentment and self-pity, and anytime I try to insist, stomp my feet in the face of my higher power and say, but I deserve this, and so on and so forth. So this design for living, beam me up, Scotty. I'm very grateful to be here on this journey. It's, to me, matches right up with all the world's great philosophy and religions. I think it's on spot, and it is helping what ails me, and I'm very grateful. With that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Jean J. Pamela R.B., followed by Kathleen O. Pamela R.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Mo H. This
is
Pamela R.B. from Detroit, Michigan. I am so happy to be here. This is such a great passage. I woke up this morning just feeling some anxiety, because one of the things that's required now that I'm recovered is that I have to look at other people now, not just what I want and who I am and how everybody is not, falling into the role that I've assigned them to play. I have to broaden that road now. Like it says, it's not a one-way street. And so I'm not married, but I think about relationships here. It's good for the wife as for the husband. It's good for Pamela as it is for anybody in her life today. And what I recognize today is that I have always had difficulties with relationships with people. I've shown up pretty much as I was talking to my sponsor the other day, and I've pretty much showed up in most of my relationships as a rescuer. I've chosen a profession that also allows me to rescue people. And I recognize that today, that is not my role today. Today is my role. My role today is not to become a rescuer, not to save people, not to, think that I have the answer for everybody. And I'm very grateful for that. And over the years, and being consumed by food, I was so cloudy, my judgment and thought process was so clouded. I could not see where I showed up. And today I have a very insightful connection today when I show up. And I'm in a particular situation right now where I see that I'm showing up the same way. And it's a very new relationship. So I get a chance like it says here, I get a chance to look at it differently. I get a chance to say, oh, this is my stuff. This has nothing to do with the other person. And I am responsible for how I show up today. So I'm grateful today that this program has given me a design for living that I've never had before. And at this point in time in my life, it is really imperative that I accept this new design. Because what I see, too, by doing that, is that my life has opened up in ways that I never could have imagined, because I'm no longer trying to run the show. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela RB. Kathleen O., you're up, and we might have time for one more quick share. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Mo, and hello, everyone on the line. This is Kathleen O., recovered in California, and I had to chuckle at Jean J's share. Ditto to that beam me up, Scotty. You know, beam me up to this amazing life that we get in working these steps. That fourth dimension that they talk about is real as long as I take action and follow these directions. And the design for living. You know, I went to Catholic school and I learned the difference between right and wrong. Those nuns pretty much pounded it into us. And I was raised by parents who did not have addictions. They were very loyal to each other, and they taught me through words and demonstration the difference between right and wrong. So I don't know if I got mixed up in the hospital or what, but I just was off on my own and running. And when it came to sex and relationships, I just made a mess. You know, I wreaked havoc and I was just making a mess of everything. So, you know, I had to clean up this mess I made, and I had plenty of it when it came to relationships. But I learned through these steps and in keeping my side of the street clean, that I really need to come from kindness and love and tolerance, patience, you know, not criticizing, no matter how tempting it is with my husband, and really, you know, focusing my attention on him. I used to love to flirt, particularly when I was young. I just found that really fun. But it's playing with fire. It was always playing with fire, and it got me into trouble. So, you know, I mean, I'm older now, but that's not something I do. I think you can do that at any age, but I don't do that anymore because it's just too dangerous. And so, you know, if I want a partner who with certain qualities, who's my everything, I need to be that person with those qualities. And this truly is about learning to be God-centered and not self-centered, you know. And when I'm out in service, when I'm doing service, I'm out of self-pity. There's no way I can be in self-pity if I'm helping others and seeing where I can do service. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Mo.
Thank you, Kathleen. Well, we have about 2 minutes if someone would like to jump in there and share. There was a gentleman's name I heard earlier after Kathleen.
Perry B.
Pedro B.
Perry B? Okay. Oh, it was Pedro. Oh, Pedro,
yeah.
I heard you. You were first. Go ahead, Pedro.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, I just want to express my gratitude for everyone in the program, and everyone on this line is a vision for you. I just feel really grateful and thankful and glad that I found it. And I'm new again, and this is a design for living. What a beautiful opportunity we have to live a life worth living, to do the right things, to, you know, there's something about this feeling I get when I do the right things. And of course, I'm not, you know, in the amends, but from your experiences, it's like, wow, it's giving me so much hope that, oh, wow, this is, you know, I have to you know, this selfishness and self-centeredness that will kill me. And the big book talks about having to get rid of this selfishness and self-centeredness, that I have to think of other people and their well-being. And in doing that, I'll be helping myself. Anyways, I just want to express gratitude to thank everyone. And I'm out. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Pedro B., very much. And you'll be our last share for today. I want to thank all those who gave service today, Stacy T., Laura R., Leslie M., Robin P., Dion R., and Penny C. And Robin will be our announcements coordinator. Penny C. will be our newcomer greeter, so stay on the line if you're a newcomer. And I will now close with the reading on page 164, A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and I'll now ask Robin P. to read that.
Thank you so much, Mo. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize you know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do for the man who still, ask him in your morning meditation for what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Amen. Mo, are you there?
Hold on, Mo. Just give me 1 second. I just got a little hold up here.
I'm waiting for the recording to stop.
I know. Just give me a second. My computer decided to freeze up at just
You want me to do it? I can do it.
Yeah, you might have
okay.
to.